Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown podcast. It is Thursday, August 4th, 2022. The pod is back. It is officially training camp. Training camp has commenced. It hath commenced, some might say. And, you know, it's just a really, really great time because the Hall of Fame game is on tonight, and that means football is back. In my opinion, it's a little bit of an edging version of football is back, but football officially back. I'm joined on my screen by Gentle Spen Crenshaw in his Trey Mancini shirt. Little outdated there. What's going on with that?
Honestly, moving today, officially back in the 21230, Baltimore City resident. Round two, baby. I am back. I'm right up the yard from Camden Yards and M&T Bank Stadium. Threw this on. I was wearing a nice button up. Honestly, didn't even realize it was a Mancini shirt until you said that. But thank you, Trey. Hit a jack for the Astros there. Orioles are still rocking, still rolling. Fun trade deadline there. Baltimore sports, they're back, baby. They're as back as they can be. We have two legitimate top four professional teams here in good old Balmer. And the Ravens are back. Training camp going smoothly, which we're going to get into. Orioles crushing it. So it's a fun time, man. We're hitting our peak right now.
Yeah, it is a fun time. It's more fun at this time of year than I think it's been in a long time. And I think part of that is certainly due to the Orioles and how much they've been killing it. I mean, despite a little bit of we touched on it there, depressing trade deadline, shipping off Mancini to the Astros, who is already kind of killing it there with that short left field porch. Good for him. And then obviously Jorge Lopez. But, you know, in spite of all that, you got Austin Hayes saying vamanos on Instagram and they went out and swept the Rangers. So, you know, it seems like a good kind of chip on your shoulder type team over there. And you got one of the Ravens a little bit too. And it feels, I think, kind of nice because things have sort of quieted down on that front a little bit. It feels a lot less angry, a lot less divisive. I mean, it's always going to be a little bit, but it just feels like, hey, we're just kind of sitting back and watching things play out in training camp right now, which is a good thing.
We certainly are. It feels quiet. COVID is not a factor. Knocking on the old wood there, but even if it was, you know, it's not going to take the toll that it did. It's much more under control. So past those dark days in many ways, and Lamar Jackson has Adam
You never heard a before?
Never had a up there in Canada. You can get them four, stuff them in different corners of your suitcase there. Shout out to Chris Berman. So Ravens have, you know, Lamar's personal coach there. They're cooking with gas. A lot of promise right now. Things feel very good. So hopefully they stay that way. Ultimately, they are practicing in the hellish heat. Unfortunately, Mr. Vince Beagle tears his Achilles today. Terrible, terrible news. Someone that apparently was looking quite promising, you know, being able to be a rotational guy, play some special teams, provide a little bit of leadership in the defensive side of the football, things like that. So they will be without him. And, you know, it's that Baltimore heat. It's getting up there. 97 today at one point with massive humidity out there in Owings Mills. And it's tough out here for these pimps.
Yeah, definitely. It seems that way, man. I mean, and it's funny because they've implemented all this with the hope of putting less stress, I guess, on soft tissue, for the hope of like ramping things up and making things a little bit more a thing that you can ease into and maybe a little bit more of a digestible training camp practice format. But we've been talking about it going all the way back. This is the Apocalypse Now format. This is practicing in 100-degree humidity, and or at least real feel for that. I mean, it was fucking hot today. And you got stories of guys cramping up. You got Kyle Hamilton leaving the field early yesterday. Turned out he was fine. Vince Beagle popping his Achilles today. He's going to be out for the year, which is unfortunate. He was really turning heads to start camp there. Ben Mason dealing with some stuff. So the injuries are starting to crop up a little bit, and it's hard not to think of like the corgi with like the Vietnam, like Huey's in the background meme, where it's like PTSD basically. Feels like we're kind of at that point where anytime an injury is going to happen, we are just kind of on complete DEFCON 5, whichever the bad DEFCON is, not the DEFCON. I don't know, but whichever the DEFCON like nuclear war, we are now at DEFCON 5. Shout out to Nazi zombies. That feels like people are getting
and
there.
You want to see my dog not use my mic stand as a bed right now, right this second? One moment.
I mean, I personally do want to see that, but listen.
Things you might love to see, but yeah, it's just a little bit funny. You hear Harbaugh today talking about getting calluses, something he loves. No one loves callusing in the summer more than John Harbaugh, I'll tell you that much. Going back to the Hayden Hurst, Mark Andrews days, going back further than that, talking about how guys need to mentally and physically callus in this heat, talking about it again today. But same time, guys are going to cramp up when you're playing in the middle of the day, in the middle of August and the middle of summer. It's going to have some setbacks. So it's a little bit of give, a little bit of take in those directions, but hopefully they're able to navigate those waters cleanly. Right now, it feels like got to be taking a toll out there in the middle of the day. I know that the number one complained thing about among beat reporters of all franchises and teams that have summer practices is most certainly the heat. So you hate to see it for Kyle. You hate to see it for Jonas. You hate to see it for Jeff. Just nothing they love to be like, ha, it's a scorcher out there today. Good Lord, how are we going to do it again, boys? So it's always my favorite small talk conversation point, just humidity. It's not the heat that gets you, it's the humidity.
Yeah, they do like to do that, and we obviously love those guys, but a little bit of a self-indulgence on their part at times, I gotta say, because listen, I would trade that for sitting in my air-conditioned office with my boring-ass job any day of the week. So enjoy, exactly. Guys. You're having a good time out there. You're doing what you love, covering this great sport of football that everyone loves. And like I said, is back tonight with the Jags and the
Raiders.
And the Raiders. Yeah, I mean, it's so highly anticipated. I didn't even know who was playing in it. But yeah, it's going to be a little bit of Kyle Slaughter, to my understanding, versus God knows who else. So that's going to be an interesting watch. But yeah, I mean, we got still plenty of Ravens on the docket to talk here. What do you want to start with?
Let's start with a couple rookies here. I mean, Travis Jones has been taking some headlines. Mike Pierce talking about him like a man amongst men in terms of his special talents. And we had a little article go up, and you can see Kyle tweeted out Michael Pierce's reaction and response of what he's known from Travis Jones. And he said, "Did you see him today? That's all you need to know. He's a special man, really special, physically gifted for a big dude. He can really, really move, and they don't make too many like him. I've been turning heads since OTAs." So one rookie turning heads, another one finally turning the page of his contract and signing on the dotted line in David Ojabo, who becomes the 262nd player to sign out of the 262 possible from the 2022 NFL draft class. A little bit of snafus going on among the kind of middle second round picks this year in terms of third year guaranteed money. And it was honestly news to me how much wiggle room there was in negotiation for things like that. We always think of the rookie contracts as being super solidified and slotted and all of those things. And when you go look at the guaranteed year three money among the picks like 37 through 45, it gets as high as, I think, 2.2 million and as low as like 250K. So definitely some wiggle room there. And Ojabo, who doesn't really need to be necessarily on the field per se, had some time to negotiate there ahead of that. So gets it done finally, the last to close out. And then finally, Kyle Hamilton, who has just been getting absolutely flamed on Twitter, flamed on Instagram. You know, Jason LaConfora, you know, just squeaking about him, all of those things. So,
he's looked, a lot of news out of the Ravens rookie defensive player. Did the signed autograph for my kids.
You're from Notre Dame. You're from Notre Dame. Come on.
I don't know, Kenny. He's Notre Dame. He's just, my kids were there. He didn't sign an autograph for them. It's just, I just don't know about this pick, Kenny.
Exactly. So Kyle goes up against an unheralded receiver that was just signed a couple weeks ago and tries to go do some bail tech, aka backpedaling cleanly and bluffing press, and then trying to get his hands on a receiver at the stem of the route, and failed to do so and got burnt. And there's a deep ball. And so it's, oh, well, you know, this means he's a bust. He's done forever. 1 week into training camp, he is a bust, just like Jamar Chase was at this time last year. And hey, he could be a bust. He could also be a Hall of Famer, but I'll tell you what, we don't know from one play and no one else does. So a lot of noise coming out of those first, I guess, three defensive picks. Yeah, because it was only other Linderbaum other than that. So the first rounder, the second rounder, and the third rounder defensively. A lot of traction there in the last couple of days out of them.
Yeah, Travis Jones, I think I'm really in particular happy to hear about that because he kind of flew under the radar a little bit. And it's funny because if you look at those four guys, they were all four guys who at one point was mocked to the Ravens in the first round. I think that's a, you know, you can pretty cleanly say that across the board for all four of them. And it's to the point where they get three of the other dudes with, you know, more, I guess you would say, premium positions, you know, bigger names in a lot of different respects. But it's good to hear him flying under the radar. And they really, like, it's about damn time that they hit on one of these guys. Like,
it's about damn time.
It's about damn time that they hit on one of these guys along the defensive line. Because it's just like, how many times, going all the way back to like Tim Jernigan, have we had them bring guys in where it's like, oh, wow, he has all the promise in the world. And look at that. He was like a late first rounder at one point. He just didn't really turn into anything. And not saying that he's going to, based upon what we're seeing in training camp, to our point about not getting overhyped, but you know, he's getting off to a really good start, and that's what you want to hear. And from a guy like Mike Pierce, who would know what he's talking about and was an undrafted player, it's an interesting sort of, you know, different dueling dynamics there. And it's cool to see him sort of shepherding him under his wing. And then, yeah, obviously Hamilton, that's my guy. Jersey came in the mail the other day. It looks great. Yeah, no, that was not a great look. Listen, but that's going to happen. I mean, it's one rep, literally, too. It's not like the Jamar Chase thing where it's like he was actually having drop issues in those practices. Literally one rep, and then I think he had like one other video come out of the castle. And it's just, it's one of those things where I think Kyle is a guy who people want to see fail. Like, he's just, you know, he's Ken Griffey Jr. to your point. He's the kid. He's a little too cool for school, I think, in some respects. I think he's sort of, that's why he's drawing the interest of Marlon Humphrey a little bit, which I've had with discussions with a closely linked person to the organization in some respects that I will not name. It feels like there's a little bit of maybe a jealousy factor there with Marlon to Kyle. Maybe the torch is being passed for him. But yeah, from the outside looking in, it's like, yeah, this guy's good at everything. You know, good looking, big football player. Screw him. I don't want him to succeed. I think there's a little bit of that going on. So let's calm everything down with my guy, Kyle. And then, yeah, Linderbaum. I mean, you haven't heard too much from him, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, today apparently got stepped on. Maybe see him take it easy for a couple of days there ultimately. But, yeah, I mean, Kyle Hamilton, we got in the chat here, Deuce 1042. Jamar still had drop issues in the regular season, by the way. Well, it might be that magnifying one characteristic of play into one play and using that, something called cherry picking a little bit that I've certainly been accused of quite a few times. But at the end of the day, if the Ravens are relying on a guy like Kyle Hamilton to come in and play Bale Tech on an island alone against a smaller receiver, something he wasn't asked to do in college very much. Doing that from day one, going to be a learning process, going to be failures, going to be learning curves, all of those cliches, but that's not why they drafted him. They drafted him to go line up against big boys, go make those kinds of plays. So training camp is for training. We'll see. Again, could certainly be a bust, could certainly be outstanding, but I think you're absolutely right. He has that polarizing factor to him. He has been supposed to be a top five, top 10 pick for quite some time now, really, really dating back to kind of the end of his freshman year when he started making a lot of plays. He started getting that national attention and certainly through his sophomore year. So bringing a polished kind of dude like that and putting him under the microscope, you're going to find some bacteria. You're going to find some weaknesses. You're going to find some learning curves, all of those things. But at the end of the day, you know, you can go to camp, you can watch plays, you can see a guy like Isaiah Likely looks like he's a natural pass catcher and has a knack for the red zone and, you know, quickly catching on, moving up, all of those things. But at the end of the day, it is training camp for training. How many, Jake, you and I, the first time we started doing this show, 2019, who did we go see have the training camp of a lifetime? Mr. Miles Boykin. He looked outstanding. Guess what? Made a couple of nice plays in preseason too. You know, caught our attention. He moved right on up, never panned out, ends up getting waived, and apparently, you know, hasn't quite caught on yet in Pittsburgh as well. So summer lies, training camp lies to us, and it's for training at the end of the day.
Training camp is for training, Spencer Nathaniel Schultz. So yeah, it's
Michael Scott.
Yeah, exactly. It's you mentioned Likely there too. He's another guy that we do need to hit on because, man, it feels like he's going to be a part of this offense. I know it's like, you know, we have to couch it every single time with, hey, it's just training camp. It's just training camp. But I feel like when you do have situations where you have a guy who's just consistently showing out, making big plays, whether it's against air, whether it's against let up defense, a lot of it's happening with Lamar Jackson, which I think is a big deal, where he's going out there and taking, maybe not taking first team reps for a tight end, but he's the guy that Lamar is looking to on a lot of these plays. I think that really says a lot. And in the absence of Kohler and with Boyle still working his way back from injury, he's like, he's going to get plenty of opportunities to line up behind Mark Andrews or maybe spell him from time to time. And if he's showing the ability to hang with NFL guys, even at 80% speed, that's going to be huge for him in the regular season. I expect him to contribute.
Absolutely. No one's stock is higher. It is rare for rookie tight ends to come in and make a real impact. Kyle Pitts had a very low-key, like legendary rookie year as a tight end last year. But I think even talking about Kyle Hamilton as well, talking about a guy like Cooper Kupp, talking about a guy like Darren Waller, Travis Kelce, a lot of these guys, big slots. That's what the NFL is leaning into, big slots, having guys that can stretch the seam with a big catch radius, do a little bit of damage after the catch, some of those things. So Kyle Hamilton brought in to line up against those kind of guys. Isaiah likely brought in to do the exact same thing that Mark Andrews has been doing in ways. And sure, you know, not the same guy, not calling him Mark Andrews, whatever. But if you're seeing Lamar Jackson spitting the ball to him over and over and talking about him and all kinds of things, feels like he is certainly going to have a role. And there might be no one who I want to say has benefited more through the offseason to finding snaps as a little bit of an under-heralded or unheralded player than Likely, who, like you mentioned, is going to be able to go be big slot in formations with Andrews, maybe to spell Andrews, who's not going to play 100% of snaps, maybe to line up on the outside a little bit, maybe in the backfield a little bit. Kohler's not there. Boyle's not there. So really it's like Andrews and Josh Oliver and, you know, Tony Pollyon and some of those guys. So Likely certainly has seemed to rise stock-wise and continue to get the ball and continue to work higher and higher throughout camp and will get snaps inevitably if he's healthy going into the season, it feels like at this point.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think him stepping up, I think also maybe speaks to something that we should also touch on, which is that I don't think surprisingly, really, it feels like the lack of depth at receiver, wide receiver specifically, is showing up a little bit already. And it just feels like we've been beating this drum all offseason. I don't care what side of the debate you come down on Purple Patrol or Legion of Gloom, whatever you want to call it. Like, I think we can all agree, like, this is a position that is less than ideal right now. It feels like there's still options out there. Apparently, Will Fuller is being monitored by multiple teams. He's going to wait to make a decision. He doesn't want to do preseason and all that stuff, which I'm fine with. But I just, you know, I love Rashad Bateman, obviously. I like Devin Duvernay. I like James Prochet to an extent. I like the potential of Tylan Wallace. But apparently, you know, outside of Bateman, there just hasn't been a lot of guys really, really stepping up. And I did want to touch on that as a point of like, okay, a lot of things are going really great here, but this is something that I've been concerned about. We've all been concerned about all offseason, and it's starting to buck its head a little bit here. So I'm curious what you think about that situation, what you think about moves. I saw, you know, I think it might have been like a Bleacher Report or some article or something like naming like maybe Jalen Reagor as like a trade candidate, which is like maybe it's time you start thinking about unconventional trades. Maybe you look away from even the Fullers and you try to fix this thing in a different way. It just feels like this is a move where or a situation where you need to make a move a la, I'm reminded weirdly of like the Bears with Cody Parkey when they brought him back before the double doink thing. And I remember Bears fans all year being like, hey, like this is going to suck. Like we should probably do something here. Something's going to happen. And they didn't do anything. And then double doink, probably not going to have anything happen to that extent, but it just feels like a very avoidable situation is creeping up on them. And then it's time to do something.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you're going to be light somewhere. And the wide receiver position typically ends up being valued more than most positions. And that's why they get paid more than most positions, especially of non-quarterbacks and things of that nature. But they have some space. They've got a little bit of space sitting there. They've got some options. We'll see. I just don't know, you know, that they have a real sense of urgency. I don't think they're looking at that as, oh, we took a bunch of swings and missed. They did the opposite. They, you know, kind of went to the bench. They're like, all right, well, we'll trade Marquise Brown. We won't take a receiver. And we're going to let these guys, you know, see what they have. Let the cream rise to the crop. It's, you know, been watching too much baseball, wearing an Orioles shirt. But to compare it to the Orioles, it's like at some point you made a little bit of investment or spent capital on these guys. So somebody's got to rise to the top. And then if you don't have what you need to be reactionary at that point for this season. But they don't have a Super Bowl winning receiving core at this point, to say the least. So, you know, we have heard not very little about Tylan Wallace. We have here in the comments too. Sure. You know, say what you want, but we're going to see come Sundays. Maybe, you know, we've looked at Darius Slayton. We've looked at Will Fuller. You know, people are talking about Odell Beckham, who's only 4 or 5 months out from, you know, tearing his ACL. So they're already in the bargain bin. So it's like, it's only going to be bargain bin guys. It's only going to be a Sammy Watkins type of signing. Ultimately, you sign Will Fuller. Do you feel great? Do you feel better? Maybe a little, but you know, it's the same thing. It's like, all right, you sign Sammy Watkins. He's probably going to miss a lot of time. What does Sammy Watkins do? Miss a lot of time. What did we say would happen? Sammy Watkins would miss a lot of time. That's why we were happy they drafted Rashad Bateman. So at this point, you're hoping again that Likely and Andrews and Bateman are going to be able to really put up that workload, and that guys like Prochet and Duvernay are supplemental enough going into the season. And they're already in the bargain bin. You're already at Goodwill. So try to find the best deal there. And maybe it's someone who's waived. Maybe it's a very light trade in a crowded room, whatever it is. But at this point, it's just impossible to predict what the Baltimore Ravens are going to do in that receiver room. Has felt that way for quite some time. And it just continues to be the focal point of all negativity year after year after year after year. And we're in the fourth year of it, the fifth year of it, this like the eighth year of it, really. So to quote myself for the thousandth time on this podcast, I guess we shall see.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be fun to watch. Anything else jump out at you from practices? You want to touch on press conferences a little bit? I know you've been sinking your teeth into those a little bit.
I definitely have. Prochet is, though, at the same time, very exciting. Someone who concentrates, has focus, seems to work well, working with Lamar Jackson, working back to his quarterback, seems like a nice, viable slot receiver. So Benjamin Victor seems like he's been making quietly quite a few plays, made some last year and kind of was dueling it out with Deion Kane, who ended up getting cut. They keep Victor around, and they've also had Jalen Moore get a ton of buzz as well, someone that Roman was speaking about. And I guess we can kind of get into the press conferences there. But yeah, so it's you know, the best place to find work if you're one of those UDFAs, if you're Slade Bolden, Jalen Moore, Benjamin Victor, any of those UDFA guys, you're in the prime spot to try to work your way onto the 53 and find your way on an active roster and maybe some game day snaps.
Yep, absolutely. I guess, is that it from training camp? Anything else?
J.K. Dobbins coming back potentially Monday to do some individual work. Lamar Jackson, I mean, continues to look outstanding from all accounts.
And yeah, he had the nice bomb to Prochet today. That was good to see.
Quite poised. And someone that, you know, maybe plays a little better than he practices typically. You see him do some really sharp stuff at times in camp. You see him kind of have his off days, things like that. And it seems like was giving the defense a little bit of fits at times, quite a bit over the last week or so. So Odafe Owe, apparently very impressive. Ben Powers is the running with the ones right now. He's taking the reins. They've moved Juwan James from right tackle to left tackle, which if I'm going to knock something that they've done in the last, you know, since training camp started, it's that you have a guy that, you know, was a career right tackle, says he hasn't played left tackle since high school, and you make a, you know, small spend on him, hasn't played in 2 years, and you immediately make him switch sides in addition to working back from injury. Feels a little peculiar as opposed to a guy like McCary, who has taken some snaps there, has worked there in preseason, worked there in training camp the last couple of years, things like that.
So, and I guess according to Juwan James, it feels like it might actually literally feel peculiar.
Yeah, he says he's you know, the our buddy Cole Jackson loves to say it. It's like wiping your butt with the other hand, and that's how James described it. So it is just kind of feels a little Alejandro Villanueva-y. Hey, maybe he's struggling a little bit. Let's make it harder. Let's dump on him a little bit. Make it even tougher to come back. So I'm not sure I really love that move necessarily. A lot of hoopla about Ben Cleveland as well. Whatever, big guy misses, you know, conditioning happens. Got married a week before, but just been pretty quiet. I'd say it's been pretty quiet on the airwaves,
which is a good thing. And to the point earlier about like all the injuries and shit, we can keep knocking on wood and everything like that. Tupac can keep crying, but it's just, it feels like that is a good thing. The quieter, the better. Like, we don't need to have this explosive training camp with, you know, highs and lows and things like that. It just feels like when you have a quiet August, that's always a good thing. So it's very nice. I think we hit on a lot of that different stuff. It's good to see all those guys that aren't participating out there, like Peters and Stanley out on the sidelines pretty much every day, just chopping it up with DaCosta and Harbaugh. You've got JK out there really pleading his case to get on the field, which, like, I respect the hustle, but at the same time, let's just be as careful as possible. It's been an interesting dynamic. It's been really, really fun to follow the last couple of weeks, and I'm excited to see it really kind of become official. I guess what's would be next Thursday is the first game, or is it next?
Yep, 1 week out.
Yeah, 1 week out. So, yeah, we're going to have a preview for you guys, I guess, the lead into that, maybe like a Wednesday night situation, record a preview there, and then do a little recap after, hopefully. So, yeah, it's fun. I mean, football is officially back. It's about to be back here in 20 minutes. We'll see if that game goes off on time. A little bit of severe weather there in Ohio, which we can relate to here in Maryland, because it's officially tropical storm season, where it's like every single night at 6 p.m. after all the heat, you know, you just get a tropical storm rolling, which is sick. So, yeah, I guess that's all we got from that. And then we should probably touch on what's going on over with our friends in Cleveland.
Yeah, it has turned into an absolute debacle. My big takeaway from the entire Deshaun Watson situation. Well, I did have muted. I honestly forgot I had all of that muted. I muted Watson and Deshaun it indefinitely for quite some time on Twitter. Took that off once he kind of got traded and, you know, there was the blowback, obviously much deserved. But I just think the funniest part of it, and I did tweet about it, did talk about you and Cole with it, is just why do the Haslams, who have struggled so much to stay out of the drama and stay out of the family tension and stay out of the things that can rip you apart when you take on the ownership of a franchise, you know, relatively new owners. And why did they think that among all of the teams in football, the best thing for them to do, who couldn't handle Johnny Manziel and demanded to draft him, who couldn't really handle Baker Mayfield, who gets a lot of flack, you know, mouths off, things like that, but no, never a problem on the field, never a problem of work ethic, never problems like that. Couldn't handle him. He seems to be having a nice quiet time in Carolina immediately. And why did they think in the end, oh, let's go get the most volatile, toxic, talked about, criticized possible player. Let's trade five picks, three firsts, and make him the highest player in history. Why did they think that they were capable as an organization of making sound decisions and ultimately having that work out for the best? It has immediately turned into a force multiplying flux capacitor of shit on top of their heads. And I just find that to be the most ironic thing. The lack of self-awareness that they had is insane. I mean, it's the quarterback as well. Like if it was, you know, if it was an edge player, if it was a corner, a tackle, a receiver, you know, still really big positions, it's not getting talked about like this. Still, it is the quarterback. You made him the highest paid player of all time. Put all your chips in. I just don't know. They have such a lack of self-awareness for their own ineptitude. It is, they should be politicians, really. They're in the wrong, they should be on the political arena spewing bullshit. So I just really can't understand how they put themselves in this position. It's just dumbfounding.
Yeah, I mean, it probably, in some respect, it is dumbfounding, but in some respect, when somebody tells you who they really are, believe them, right? Like, Haslam probably, he took over, like, what, early 2010s? So the Manziel thing, they were adamant that they did not want him. I think Kyle Shanahan wanted Derek Carr in that draft, or so he said after the fact, who turned out to be the only good quarterback, go figure. But you know, they don't want to draft him, whatever. Mike Pettine, who's actually like a little bit of a family friend of mine, he didn't want him. And they go and they get him in the building, all because he texted the fucking quarterback coach. The quarterback coach takes that text to Jimmy Haslam, and Jimmy Haslam says, hey, just blow up all our draft plans. We're going to get this guy. That tanked them for, you know, 3 to 5 years, probably. Then the Baker Mayfield thing, that actually like had a little bit of promise and it worked out okay. But like when things started to go a little bit wrong, they just, to your point, they just couldn't handle the drama. They couldn't, you know, swing with the punches, I guess.
As soon as things weren't swimmingly moving along, they self-imploded.
Yeah, they panic. That's what bad organizations do in any business, not just in football. You panic and you just make these rash decisions. And
you're reactionary as opposed to proactive.
Right. And Baker, like he definitely had his down moments. Like 2019 was a huge disappointment. And then he was disappointing last year, but he had two good years mixed in there. And to the point that we talked about in our group chat offline here, it's like they could have just like ran him out there for another year. Just let things play out a little bit. Be patient. Don't panic. Don't go after the big shiny object and the, you know, out there just kind of hanging out there, and don't overpay for it, which they just completely ignored that advice. They sent what, 3 first round draft picks, whatever else. They gave him that just a absolute fucking disgrace of a contract that is just absurd. And, you know, to be honest, it looks like there might be some questions about whether he's ever even going to play for them, which is hilarious. I'm sure he's going to at some point, but it's on the table that he's not. And the fact that they guaranteed all that money, we've talked about it ad nauseum, but it still just never ceases to amaze either one of us, I think. And now we're at this point where it was six games. The NFL is appealing that. Cadell has appealed the appeal out to a guy who I guess would be effectively a little bit unbiased because the NFL was saying they wanted at least a year's suspension, which does not at all line up.
According to one Mike Florio, the gentleman that it was sent to is biased, like okay. Is going to result in that. And take Florio, you know, as far as you can throw him, but it's just a shit show at the fuck factory, which is what was the Joe Thomas article? 1,000 days at the factory of sadness.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? We're another 1,000 in and nothing has changed. So the Browns' ability to self-implode is just, it ultimately just feels like they are going to end up paying him that money. He is not going to be able to play. And they just crippled themselves essentially as a franchise. I don't know how it's going to go otherwise, how it's not going to ruin your coaches, you know, your franchise type players and Myles Garrett, you know, all of those thoughts, all of those T's and P's are going to go through their heads. They're going to be limited. You know, Jacoby Brissett is a fine quadruple A quarterback, in my opinion. Could maybe start here and there. You know, I don't think he's horrible, but I just don't know how you can implode that much. How you could not just, as opposed to that, roll with Baker again, keep him on the fifth year, trade those picks and go get a quarterback, or do it again the next year, or whatever it is. They just couldn't help themselves but to find that delicious corn on the cob of poo-poo to eat and get all over their faces.
And Kevin Stefanski, he couldn't handle Baker. Like, you're talking about not being able to handle Baker, which I can understand to some respect. This guy, Watson, is not living in reality right now because the Browns are putting out these PR mealy-mouthed statements about how he has all this remorse. Well, then it comes out the other day in the media that he still believes he didn't do anything wrong. If you can't handle Baker fucking Mayfield, and then you're going to tell me that you're going to bring this guy in who is completely detached from the reality that he is probably a serious creep.
Demanded a trade, sat out for a season already, has the largest contract in history, and you traded all of your draft assets.
Sat out for the year, has all this pressure on him right now, has all the leverage with the Browns. If what the NFL is telling me is that he is going to debut in Baltimore, to your point, in week 7, whatever it's going to be, if he's going to debut in Baltimore, we are going to rip, and I'm not saying like me or whatever, but like people are going to rip.
The city of Baltimore is going to eat him alive.
He is
going to
be under pressure, and like not like a Baker Mayfield, like self, you know, putting pressure on himself on the field. He's going to be under pressure, like an insane amount of pressure. Like I don't know if I want to compare it to this, but it almost makes me think of like what Ray Lewis went through. If that
Kobe
happened,
Bryant comes to mind,
right? If what Kobe did happened in 2022, like he would have been booed out of gyms. And like, I feel like that is probably going to be something that is going to be happening here. And I don't think players are going to be going after him or trying to injure him or anything like that, but it's just going to be a really, really dark situation. And I don't think
it's debut Deshaun Watson in Baltimore in week 7.
Yeah. Like I just don't think to the point that you've been making all along, this is an organization that could not handle Johnny Manziel, who obviously had well-documented behavioral issues, who could not handle the roller coaster of Baker Mayfield, who was a decent enough player and a decent enough guy, but just too much of a drama queen. You're telling me they couldn't handle that. And they're going to handle not only Deshaun Watson himself, who was removed from reality, but all the bullshit that happened before, happened throughout the process, and is now going to happen as a result of a process. Just an absolute hurricane of bullshit that is heading for Cleveland, Ohio. You're telling me they're going to handle all that? I don't know, man. It's brutal.
They signed themselves up to their own, you know, funeral, it feels like, in so many ways. And the longer this drags out, the more they're going to panic. They have made that much clear. To quote Mr. Nicholas Saban, who stole it from wherever else, the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. And we are watching a gigantic snowball with a bunch of other little snowballs that always trail in with them. As soon as one little snowball starts, they turn it into a snowman, turn it into an avalanche. But to watch them just sign up for it is, I don't want to take any joy out of this situation, out of something horrible that has happened, out of a lot of women that have felt terrible, but it I don't mean this with any joy. It is bigger than like any Hollywood script. Like the movie, they make the movie Draft Day. Like they could never think a movie about this. This is
crazier than anything you can postulate, knowing the Browns, knowing the ownership, knowing that article that came out about how inept the Haslams are and everyone thinks that they are, how they didn't back down. They doubled down essentially into Watson. It is like they just can't help themselves. As soon as they were on the precipice of finally getting it right, as soon as they won a playoff game, finally got it right. You just want to do, and that's why we're so happy about the Ravens. The Ravens have had some ups, some downs. Compared to the Browns, it is the flattest green you can possibly hit a ball onto for the Ravens.
And if you think about it,
it's good, like, and they are nothing but noise.
And if you think about it, like, even if, let's say that somehow, some way, all of this turns out the way they wanted it and they win a Super Bowl out of this, who's going to give a shit? Like, are you really going to sit there and say, oh, wow, great job, Browns. You won the Super Bowl. That's what you always wanted to do. They're always going to say, oh, well, look what you did to do that. Like, you sold your fucking soul.
I can just promise you that they won't. Like, that's not what wins Super Bowls.
I believe you. But even if it does, like, in the unlikely chance that it does, right, and they did this to win a Super Bowl, that is the only reason that they did this. They traded for this guy in a loaded AFC where the odds, even with him, are going to be well against them. If it doesn't happen, it's a failure. If it does happen, people are going to asterisk it and say, you did it. You completely sold your soul to get this.
It most certainly does look that way. And again, I just, from everything I've ever read, it seems like the only surefire way to win a Super Bowl is to have not just your players, not just your coaching staff, not just your front office, but like the chefs who make the meals at the facility and the janitors and the owners and the ticket booth sales people, the box office, everyone has to be in lockstep as an organization. That is how you win Super Bowls. They're simply not that. So they're not going to. I'm confident in that. Give me some odds on on Deshaun Watson never taking a snap in Cleveland. Give me some odds that are a little juicy. I might put the mortgage on that. I feel that there is doom and gloom and nothing good is going to come of this. The PR nightmare the NFL is going through in the year 2022, to your point, they're reactionary now. They are scared. They are backpedaling. And when that happens, they're going to come down on you. And it's plain and simple. You know, people just mocking them about Calvin Ridley placing bets when he's not even at the facility or from the comfort of his own home. He's out for a year. All of those things, all of the whataboutisms about it. They are taking more flack than they've taken.
And the lockstep thing too, it like weirdly makes me feel, and I'm not one to like mix it up on Twitter like much to begin with. I just don't think it's productive. I don't really get much out of it, but like sometimes I'll come across a fan of theirs trying to like justify all this. And like, and there are very infamous ones out there that are completely shameless about it. And like, I want to like take a minute to like stop in and poke fun at them, but it just feels like punching down. Like, these people are just like Watson. They're just kind of removed from reality in a way where they have to like deal with this shit. And like, listen,
I feel bad for true Browns fans, for the true Browns fans. I see for sure all of those things. Just give me whatever odds on Deshaun Watson never taking a snap. And to move on, Deuce 1042 in the comments here, off topic, he said, what the hell was Hollywood Brown thinking? I don't know. Let's go over the Hollywood Brown checklist at this point. Demand a trade, check mark. Hamstring injury, check mark. Arrested for speeding, check mark. Criminal speeding, don't know the details, but from what the check mark report I saw was, he was going 126. I have some personal thoughts on that. I'm not saying to commit any crimes, but he pulled over, kind of a weird move. You know, maybe go take an exit, maybe go up to 150. Just saying. Go take an exit, whatever. So what's next? Release a mixtape and then the hold out over an extension and then demand another trade? Like, those feels like that order is moving along swimmingly.
Yeah, this feels like, I don't think he's a bad kid or anything, but this just feels like a weird marriage from the start. Like, you're going to tell me you're going to get him in there with Kyler, who's had the offseason that he's had, and like this organization that extended Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury when they were negotiating against literally no one but themselves. This feels like, for all the people that, and myself included, that were sad to see him go and were kind of a little flummoxed by that trade on draft night. I'm feeling okay about it right now. I'll just say
I would love to have him here still. Definitely love to have him on the field here for what he does on Sunday specifically. It's just, I don't know. And maybe I'm Freudian myself, my own fatherly love of the, or my own motherly love of the Ravens, but it's like, all right, Orlando Brown wanted out, get him out. Hollywood Brown wanted out, get him out. they're not bought in. They want to be somewhere else. You know, it's the Mike Tomlin, and it goes back way.
Is there I guess I can make a little bit of a conversation that we had public a couple weeks ago. Is there something in the water in Norman, Oklahoma that Mark Andrews was not drinking, but everybody else was?
I think Mark Andrews is just a ladies' man to the point where that's all he cares about. So you can't get him upset or anything, because he's just trying to find him some honey somewhere.
Good on him.
Christian Kirk is the reason Marquise isn't in Baltimore anymore. Ravens weren't going to pay him that money.
They weren't going to pay him the money he wanted to begin with.
And looking at what his peers have now gotten, DK Metcalf, Deontay Johnson, Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown, the usage in Baltimore, all of those things add up. And the impact he was making, while I think it was very high, was not what AJ Brown was doing in Tennessee, was not what, you know, DK Metcalf has done in Seattle, was not what Terry McLaurin's done in Washington. So you were going to have to overpay for a good player, and they're trying to get ahead of that. And it all goes back to that same thing of why I don't think the Browns will win a Super Bowl and why the Steelers are a good organization. And to quote Mike Tomlin, we want volunteers, not captives, not prisoners. And if you're not a volunteer to move forward in lockstep, you're not going to win Super Bowls. I don't think. I think that's what you need to be doing. You know, you don't hear a lot of dissension coming out of the Rams locker room. While they've been a very good organization, you know, the 49ers have had some quarterback woes, but feels like they move pretty confidently. They've been a good team. The Packers have had some weird stuff with Aaron Rodgers, but when it's time to go play the games,
which by the way, I did
the psychedelic king himself.
Yeah. One of my impersonations of him, I think at one point mentioned doing ayahuasca with Ron White. So I think I really nailed that one a while.
Him and the Lizard King are in Green Bay and just acting a fool.
Good for him.
Certainly. So at this point, you know, all of these kind of swirling little stories, and it's good that, you know, the Lamar Jackson, I mean, when Lamar came up to the podium the other week and was just cool as a cucumber, had a smile on his face, said nothing to detract from anything. You see Steve Bisciotti, you see Harbaugh smiling over watching that whole thing. And since then, it has been silent. Silent nationally for the Ravens. I hope it stays that way. I know a lot of other fans hope it stays that way. At this point, so I'm just praying for quiet for the remainder of the offseason, put in that quiet work and go win those games quietly.
Absolutely. Well, bud, I appreciate you letting me keep you hostage here on a Thursday night. Anything further from you before we get going to watch this HOF game?
No hostages, only volunteers on this podcast, baby. We're in the Mike Tomlin awesome sauce at this point. Brandon Bagley delay on the Hall of Fame game, so there we go.
Oh, perfect. Hell yeah.
Exactly. So for me, I mean, that's about it. It's quiet and I like it.
It is quiet. It's very quiet and you know, all through the house. You know, it's kind of
Jason Lock come for it. Is it too quiet?
Yeah, it's just too quiet. It feels like they don't have enough energy. They need a little more pep in their step there. Kyle Hamilton disengaged and I'd sign an autograph for my kids. And it's just, I don't know, Kenny. I don't like it. Fuck that guy.
yeah. So yeah, that's all you got. That's all I got. Really appreciate everyone tuning in after another little brief hiatus there as I was on vacation this time, but we're back in the swing, man. I feel we're back to pretty much two recordings a week at this point, I feel like, right?
There we go. We're here. We're ready to rock and roll. Preseason, all 22 coming out. NFL Premium Plus, whatever the hell Game Pass is now.
It's the same thing. It's literally
the same thing. Guess what? I'm using a VPN and using Game Pass Europe as well still, so good luck trying to ruin my high there, NFL. But we are moving, man. We're moving. We're grooving. We'll see some guys hopefully returning. Ronnie Stanley, we didn't get into. Apparently, he's, you know, on the cusp. JK on the cusp a little bit. You know, some guys that look good and ready to rock and roll. So I'm just pumped up. Any chance the Ravens trade for Amari Barno? No. I'm going to go with no. Ask me if they're going to trade for a player. I'm going to take the no every time.
Amari Barno.
A rookie 4-3 running edge player out of Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with no as well. I feel like they're not gonna be trading for a rookie. That you don't see that too often. They've done it before, actually. They traded a rookie at one point a couple years ago. But yeah, NFL comparison, Obum Guacum by Lance Earline. So not doing a ton for me there, but I appreciate the question.
There we go.
Thank you guys for listening. As always, we will talk to you again early next week doing a little Ravens Jeopardy. So
sorry if we cucked you for the Ravens Jeopardy. Jordan had a little bit of a tummy ache. So
yeah, he had a bitch ass tum-tum flare up. So it happens. It happens to me often. And you know, we'll make it happen soon. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Appreciate him putting in the work on that. And you will see the fruits of our labor of his labor. You will see his
fruits. Labor that we're going to repossess into our own name.
Yes, but he'll be a part of it. We'll ensure that. So
absolutely. And if final statement, I got unlimited Orioles home game tickets, $40 a month, August and September. Awesome deal the Orioles are doing. If you're at the yard, tweet at me, DM me on Twitter. DMs are always, always, always open for the boys. Let's meet up, have ourselves a cold one, and enjoy the Orioles while they're in the hunt right now.
Absolutely. They are in the hunt, and what more can you ask for? Thank everyone for listening. We'll talk to you guys very soon.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Super Bowl out of me. I need that.